This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:07 and this is the evening edition, of course, and it is actually another installment of Popit Popit Parliament. I'm Lee Chui Lin, and we're taking you through highlights from the Dewan Rakyat. So we're starting off today with a question on Tabung Harapan. Deputy Finance Minister Dato' Abdul Rahim Bakri gave an update on how much was collected and also briefly detailed where the money was going.
Penggunaan dana dalam akaun amanah tersebut mengikut tata cara yang termaktub di dalam arahan amanahnya, iaitu akan digunakan untuk pembayaran hutang Kerajaan Persekutuan dan pembayaran balik yang perlu dilakukan bagi tujuan akaun amanah itu sahaja. Tarikh akhir penerimaan sumbangan ialah pada 14 Januari 2019, di mana baki akhir yang direkodkan oleh akaun amanah Tabung Harapan Malaysia adalah sebanyak 202,716,775.10, manakala sehingga 1 Disember 2019, dana Tabung Harapan Malaysia telah berjumlah sebanyak 205,491,219.36, termasuk kesemua faedah yang diperolehi dan telah digunakan untuk melunaskan sebahagian daripada hutang 1MDB.
So he also said that the names of the companies and individuals who made donations can't be disclosed since the data is protected under the Personal Data Protection Act and the Financial Services Act. So Kulim MP Datuk Sri Saifuddin Nasution Ismail then took an opportunity to ask the Deputy Finance Minister to reveal the 101 projects that were said to have been awarded through direct negotiations during the Pakatan Harapan administration.
Ketika Tabung Harapan adalah cerita tentang tanggungjawab dan ketelusan bagi menangani masalah skandal 1MDB, cerita kleptokrat, apakah kementerian bersedia juga mengamalkan prinsip tanggungjawab dan ketelusan untuk dalam masa terdekat ini mendedahkan kesemua senarai 101 syarikat yang mendapat kontrak secara runding terus, boleh jadi dalam tempoh 24 jam. Kerana dengan seluruh kekuatan prasarana Menteri Kewangan dan Kementerian, saya fikir itu persoalan gampang yang boleh diuruskan kalau benar ada prinsip tanggungjawab, ketelusan dan pertanggungjawaban.
Right, so to that, the Deputy Finance Minister wasn't able to supply an answer, but did say that direct negotiations are allowed in the procurement process.
Pada pandangan saya ialah runding terus itu sesuatu yang memang dibenarkan dalam kaedah perolehan kita. Cumanya ialah kerana Pakatan Harapan telah memasukkan dalam manifestonya untuk memastikan bahawa tidak ada runding terus lagi. Dan mereka mencanangkan tentang
janji disiapati, manifesto
isunya
janji
manifesto,
disiapati.
Isu manifesto. Manifesto Pakatan Harapan tidak ada runding terus.
Waktu lompat dulu tak baca ke?
Okay, so you just heard there a deluge of MPs referring to the Pakatan Harapan election manifesto. And just to clarify, if you look back at the manifesto itself, it had stated that open tendering would be used extensively and transparently, particularly for large projects. But during its tenure, the then government had also clarified that direct negotiation can be carried out in situations involving emergency needs, uniformity for easier maintenance, supply and service, safety and strategy, as well as Bumi Putra contractors. So, in other words, while open tendering is preferred and was supposed to be used more widely, it is not necessarily the only way to go. So that's pretty much it. But you can let us know what you think. Should government contracts be made exclusively through open tenders? And in what scenario do you think direct negotiations might be better? Bit of a tough one, considering, I think, the ways in which we are talking about that and the trouble that we're seeing because of this. But let us know. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. So another question that caught our attention is one on accommodation fees for students in public public universities. Varsity students had appealed to the government to reduce their hostel and service fees by 25%. And Deputy Minister for Higher Education, Datuk Dr. Mansor Uthman, today said that after discussions with the Finance Ministry, these fees will be reduced by 15%.
Kerajaan bersetuju mengurangkan kadar yuran asrama dan yuran perkhidmatan ataupun aktiviti universiti awam UA sehingga 15% setelah mengambil kira keupayaan kewangan kerajaan dan juga universiti awam. Pengurangan yuran bagi semester kedua sesi akademik 2019 dan 2020 untuk pelajar warga negara Malaysia ini melibatkan peruntukan sebanyak RM72 juta dan seramai 523,318 pelajar UA di seluruh negara dijangka mendapat manfaat daripada keputusan ini.
That was Datuk Dr. Mansor Uthman, the Deputy Minister of Higher Education. Now, briefly, the safety of contact tracing apps was brought up again. Deputy Communications and Multimedia Minister Datuk Zahidi Zainal Abidin assured Parliament that data from the COVID-19 tracing apps will be destroyed 6 months after the MCO ends.
Data peribadi yang dikumpul hanya digunakan untuk tujuan pengesahan kontak selaras dengan Akta Pencegahan dan Pengeluaran Penyakit-Penyakit. Tempoh masa penyimpanan data peribadi yang dikumpul adalah sehingga 6 bulan Perintah Kawalan Pergerakan dan ditamatkan mesti dimusnahkan dan dipadam secara kekal. Selepas 9 bulan, kita padam. Ini confirm.
That was Deputy Communications and Multimedia Minister Datuk Zahidi Zainal Abidin answering a question on guarantees of personal data protection for information collected via contact tracing apps, which we are all obviously using, you know, pretty much daily. So after question time, the bill to amend the Transport Act was debated and former Transport Minister Anthony Lok took to the floor to name and shame PNMPs who were photographed riding motorcycles in kampung areas without wearing safety helmets. You are just about to hear him speaking and while you do, picture him holding up printed evidence of said behaviour.
Setiap kali pindah kecil, ada orang lah, politik, terutamanya pemimpin negara, nak tunjukkan mereka bahawa mereka dekat dengan rakyat, ambil motosikal. Saya nak tunjukkan beberapa contoh hari ini dalam kempen PRK Slim baru-baru ini yang masih berlaku. Yang pertamanya, yang berhormat pekan, mantan Perdana Menteri pakai songkok. Malu apa bosku? Sebagai mantan Perdana Menteri, boleh kempen, tak ada masalah. Ambil motosikal, tak ada masalah. Pakailah topi keledar. Saya bimbang nanti yang berhormat pekan jatuh nanti, kemalangan. Selain pekan, bagan Datuk. Lepas ni, Menteri Belia dan Sukan. Ada lagi, Menteri Wilayah. Salon Barisan Nasional untuk PRK Slim. Rakan rama saya, mantan Menteri Besar Negeri Sembilan, Timbalan Presiden UMNO. Ada ramai lagi, sayang saya tak ambil gambar lah.
So YB Lok went on to say that he'll be sending those pictures over to the Road Transport Department.
Saya nak bagi tahu bahawa gambar-gambar ini saya akan hantar kepada pihak JBJ. Saya sarankan penguasa JBJ hantar saman kepada orang-orang ini. Jangan bagi buka. Tunjukkan bahawa kita menguasakan undang-undang secara sama rata. Pihak JBJ yang duduk di belakang sana jangan bimbang. Ada backup daripada Perdana Menteri. Sebab Yang Maha Berhormat Perdana Menteri mengeluarkan kenyataan semalam, tak ada pilih kasih. Semua sama rata. Kalau menteri buat salah pun, menteri kena. Jadi tunjukkan bahawa kita mengambil tindakan. Supaya kita hantar satu mesej kepada orang ramai. Pakai topi keledar ini penting untuk menyelamatkan nyawa. Untuk memastikan keselamatan kita sendiri.
So that was former Transport Minister Anthony Lok taking PNMPs to task for failing to wear safety helmets while riding motorcycles during by-elections and having, you know, photographic evidence that he kind of went through. Let us know what you think. We've been having conversations recently about, I think, holding our MPs or our public figures to higher standards since they are supposed to set an example. Do you think this name and shame approach is an appropriate one, for instance? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. So on to perhaps the biggest development in Parliament today. Two proposed bills were withdrawn by de facto Law Minister Taqiyuddin Hassan, the first being a bill to amend the Federal Constitution to limit the Prime Minister's tenure to 2 terms. And the second was the Independent Police Complaints and Misconduct Commission Bill, or the IPCMC. So that's been replaced with the Independent Police Conduct Commission Bill, which is IPCC, and that was tabled for its first reading today by Deputy Home Minister Datuk Sri Ismail Mohammad Said.
Tuan Yang Dipertua, saya memohon mengemukakan rang Undang-Undang Suruhanjaya Bebas Tata Kelakuan Polis 2020.
Rang undang-undang bernama suatu akta untuk mengadakan peruntukan bagi penubuhan Suruhanjaya Bebas Tata Kelakuan Polis sebagai suatu badan pemantau bebas dan untuk mengadakan peruntukan mengenai fungsi dan kuasanya termasuklah kuasa bagi perkara yang berhubungan dengan aduan salah laku dan penyiasatannya dan bagi perkara lain yang berkaitan dengannya.
So that was Parliament tabling a bill for a new police conduct commission called the Independent Police Conduct Commission Bill. We're going to be following the developments around this newly proposed commission and what it will entail after having, of course, done quite a lot of shows, quite a lot of coverage on the IPCMC. In the meantime, let us know what you think about the retractions. So that's retracting IPCMC as well as the proposal to limit the Prime Minister's tenure to 2 terms. Do they come as much of a surprise at all? You can let us know. We also spoke earlier on about MPs who were photographed riding motorcycles in kampung areas without safety helmets, as well as the situation surrounding procurement, open tenders versus direct negotiations. If you have any thoughts, you can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We're going to be back tomorrow, of course, for the last day of this parliamentary sitting. This is Popit Popit Parliament, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.